Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Thanking you, praising you, blessing you for your goodness and your mercies that are new every morning towards us. We thank you for your love today. We thank you for your word today. That your word is alive and living. It is living power. And your word never returns unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. And I ask for great unction and utterance in the Holy Ghost. Think through my thoughts. Speak through my lips. Your words today. I yield myself and give myself over to you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here as the great revealer of all truth, the performer of the Word of God. You watch over it to perform it and make it good in our lives. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Well, we'd like to welcome all those online with us this morning that are joining in. And we just ask you to, whatever we do in here, you do the same thing there, just participating. That's how we, exercise our faith, right? It's not just about hearing only, but it's about applying that word, doing something with that word that we're hearing. That's when it begins to work for us and produce the right results. So this morning, we're going to start out with a confessions here together. Praise God. We're going to start out with Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. So here's our confession together. Surely Jesus has borne my sicknesses and diseases. And carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. All right, our second scripture, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Confession. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away my sicknesses and my diseases. He bore them away and removed them. Disease is not mine. Healing is mine. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness. I will not tolerate sickness. Sickness and disease are totally unacceptable to me. 1 Peter 2:24. Here's our last scripture this morning. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here's our confession. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Healing belongs to me. I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed. I've got healing. Because by his stripes, I was healed. Amen. Praise God. You know, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that we need to mix our faith with what we're hearing. And when we mix our faith with what we're hearing, that's when we personalize that word and make it our own. When you see what people in the Bible got, what they did, you begin to see yourself in there saying, yes, that's me, that's mine, I have it now, according to the word of God, I see that, I have that, it's mine. Yeah. You begin to claim it and declare it and make it your own. So you mix your faith with what you're hearing. You're not just saying it to say it. No, you're saying it because you believe it and you're expecting it in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, how many of you have been staying spiritually fit? Oh, yeah, we're going to go back with being spiritually fit this morning and pick it up and continue on that, because it's the strong spirit in a man that makes them what? That sustains them in bodily pain or trouble. Bodily pain or trouble. The Amplified says that in Proverbs 18:14, the strong spirit of a man, that means male or female, sustains them in bodily pain or trouble. How many knows that as long as you live in this life, trouble will try to come your way, and pain will try to come your way. But the Bible says a strong spirit will sustain you in all of this. So what's going to get you through a physical attack? Or what's going to get you through weakness and bodily pain? A strong spirit will. Come on now. What's going to get you through the worst sickness and some of the worst problems? A strong spirit will. We're talking about being spiritually fit, staying spiritually fit. We do not want to be the devil's bait. We do not want to become the devil's prey and allow him to steal and rob from us, because remember, he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we don't want to be one of those ones that he's destroying, stealing, or killing, or robbing from. No. Hallelujah. The devil has some of his main targets. We talked about this last time, just bringing it back up. Some of the main targets the devil focuses on is loners. Those that are isolated by themselves, they don't have four crazy friends of faith. Glory to God, if they can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I need you to get in my face right now, get in my ear, and start telling me what the word says so I can speak it with you. Right. Sometimes you just need some, come on now, the right voices, the voices of faith in your life. Just like the four friends did with their friend on the stretcher when they got him to Jesus and tore through the roof because they couldn't get nowhere near him because of the crowds of people. A good friend will help bring out the best in you. Come on now. So we need the right company so we won't be alone or isolated out there by ourselves, just trying to make it by ourselves, and the enemy sees that lone, being alone by yourself, and he takes what? Advantage of it. That's why it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. That word ignorant means to have a lack of understanding concerning how our enemy operates, how he works, how he thinks, what he does. We already know because of what the word tells us. We know his schemes and his strategies and how he looks for loners and those that are by themselves instead of having a good church they can come to where they're being taught and being discipled. And then they become disciples. You become disciples and can go out and disciple others that are struggling out there in the world by themselves and because they don't have a company, some people around them that can encourage them, pick them up. Yeah. This all is vitally important. And he looks for the stragglers. Yeah. Those that are going away from the truth instead of staying in the truth, allowing that truth to help you and make changes in you. Because it's the truth that you know. Uh-oh. What'd you say, Pastor Debbie? John 8:32. It's the truth that you know that will set you free and keep you free. I said the truth that you know will set you free and keep you free. Uh-huh. It's not just a one-time glance or I looked at. No. It's continuing. It's a continual. Yep. Staying in that truth and understanding the truth. Because the Bible tells us in John 8:36 that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free. Yeah, yes, yes. But they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free and keep you free. So the enemy, he looks for stragglers, loners, and he looks for weaklings. This is why we're saying a strong spirit, so that he cannot pray, use you as his prey or as his bait. No, because you're taking the time to become spiritually fit, just like people who spend time every single year and money going to fitness centers and building up the muscles on the outward man and staying healthy and strong and exercising and staying fit outwardly. How about let's practice and develop and stay fit spiritually? Amen. Because that's what's going to sustain us. Hallelujah. Why? Because out of your heart, out of your spirit flow the what? Forces of life. Are the springs of life, Proverbs 4:23, out of your heart. Out of your heart flows the life into your flesh. Right. Oh, let me say that again. Out of your heart flows the life into your flesh. If your inward man is weak, come on now, because that's where the life is. That's why the Bible says to guard our hearts above everything else. Guard your heart with all what? Diligence. Because out of it flow. Guard your heart. It does matter what you put in your heart. It matters what you're looking at continually, what you're listening to continually, what you're saying with your mouth continually. What did you hit on, Pastor Debbie? Your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. Three gateways into your heart. Your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate. Three gateways into your heart that we are responsible for guarding ourselves, being diligent to guard our heart, because we realize out of our spirit, out of our heart, out of the core of our being, where the very life of God is, come on now, the Holy Ghost that resides in us, he's the life giver, life sustainer, life preserver. He's in there. He resides and lives in your spirit. And then through your spirit, which you believe according to that word, it's life, it's healing, it's medicine to all our flesh. So that life begins to flow out of our spirit into the outward man. But we can't forget that it has to go through a filter. What's your filter, Pastor Debbie? Your soul, your mind, your intellect. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it has to go through all the emotions. That's why we're to harness our emotions. In other words, we're to take control of our emotions and not allow our emotions to control us or our circumstances. I mean, if you listen to the world, it's all about, you know, feelings. Everything is, you got to express your feelings. How do you feel? What is this about your feeling? No. According to the Bible, we're to harness our feelings and our emotions. We are to do something about our feelings and emotions and not let them just go out here wild and do anything it wants to do and react any way it wants to react and respond any way it wants to. No. We got to harness our emotions. Yeah, they're part of the soul, but they're to come under the control of what? Your heart. Your heart. We're learning to respond out of our hearts and allow the... Well, we've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. So let's start, let's turn there. Let's go there this morning. Here we go. Hallelujah. So we looked at Proverbs 18:14, which is a strong spirit will sustain you in bodily pain or trouble. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. New Living Testament says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is small. But we found out in Proverbs 4:23 that above all that we're to guard in this life, because we are a three-part being, you're more than just a physical body. The physical body is not the real you. The quicker that you can come to understand and comprehend this, that you're more than just this physical body, but you are a spirit being. That's the real you, and that your body is the house or the shell for your spirit and your soul. Your spirit and your soul. That's the real you, your spirit. And so when you come to know and understand that more and more, then you realize that the body is not the one that's going to tell you what you have and what you don't have, what you can do and what you cannot do. I said your body is not the one that's to dictate to you or tell you what you have, what you don't have, what you can do or what you cannot do. I'm reminded of a testimony of one of the pastors down in Atlanta, Georgia. And she had this little Sheltie dog, and one of the times she was sitting on her sofa, the little Sheltie dog decided to jump up and get in her lap. And when he did, his mouth, his tooth hit her lip when he jumped up. And when his tooth hit her lip, it slit this muscle right here in her lip. So when she got to the emergency room and they began to examine her and see what was going on there, the doctor said, so-and-so, we hate to tell you this, but when your dog's tooth cut your lip, your upper lip, he slit that main muscle that controls your upper lip, so you will never be able to smile again another day in your life. And she was like, oh, no, I don't accept that report. I don't thank you, doctor, for what you said. But she says, no, I don't accept that. And so he told her that her upper lip would kind of be like just a piece of blob. It just hang. She wouldn't be able to control it whatsoever. So she got home. She was full of the word, and she was like, okay, now I can target my faith. So she was listening to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, you begin to speak to that muscle in your upper lip. So every day she'd get up, she'd get into the mirror first thing, and it would look so opposite. I mean, it looked horrible. It was all droopy, and she'd try to smile, and nothing was moving up there. But every day she'd get in the mirror, she'd point to it, and she'd say, lip, muscle in my upper lip, I command you to function and work properly. I will smile in Jesus' name. And she did it by faith. Just do it by faith. Every day she'd get in the mirror, look in that mirror, and speak to the muscle in her upper lip. A certain amount of time went by. I'm not sure the amount of time. It was not an instantaneous miracle. Okay? Remember, sometimes healing is gradual, a process. Miracles are instantaneous. Sometimes your faith will produce an instantaneous miracle. Sometimes it's gradual. We just have to learn to know how to meet God's power and help at that given moment and make contact with it. I said make contact with it because it's available to us all the time. His power is available all the time. It's just connecting with that. And so every single day she began to speak. Speak to that lip, speak to that lip, speak to that lip. She didn't allow what she was seeing in that mirror affect her, bother her. She says, nope, I don't receive this report. Nope. My lip, I call you normal. I'll smile just as good as I did before all this happened with this dog. So I think it was like 4 to 6 weeks. She stayed at it. She began to notice something began to take charge right up here in her lip when she started smiling. She was like, oh my God. She began to notice it started moving that upper lip. So when she went back to the doctor after like it was her 6 weeks checkup, He says, ma'am, I can't explain this to you, but we just checked this thing out and everything is connected and the way it's supposed to be. She's like, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Praise God. So it's not about, it's all about the report of the Lord and allowing the report of God to be your final answer. Just like Pastor Chris was saying Sunday, your final answer. Let God's report be your report. And so, above all else, we're to guard our heart because out of it flow the forces of life or the springs of life. Hallelujah. That life comes from out of our heart into our flesh. That life in our flesh comes out of our heart. So it's very vital and important that we're guarding our heart above all else. The building up of our inward man or our spirit man is of utmost importance. To build our spirit up and make it strong is very important. And we got to take it like that it is very vital to our life to be spiritually fit. When it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, to exercise ourselves unto godliness. What does that look like? Spiritual exercise, spiritual training. What does that look like, Pastor Debbie? Well, we started by saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where it talks about and it lists the fruits of the born-again, recreated human spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the moment you were born again, you said yes to Jesus, you gave him your life, he became your boss, and these things were deposited into your spirit because the life of God came on the inside of you. The nature of God came on the inside of you. The ability of God. And now you're developing or you're learning to release what's on the inside on the outside. And so to the degree that our minds are renewed according to the Word of God is the degree that that life flows from the inward man all the way through the filter to the outward man. I said to the degree that our minds are being renewed is the degree of that life flows out of the inward man and onto this outward man. Yeah. Because the filter can get clogged up. How, Pastor Debbie? By wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Allowing doubt or unbelief to come in and rob you. Yeah. These things can get in there and they can, it clogs up the filter. The filter has to be cleaned out again. Yeah. It's the washing of the water of the Word. What does it tell us in Ephesians? The washing of the water of the Word. I think it's Ephesians chapter 4. Let me make sure of this. It's the washing of the water of the Word. Chapter 5, verse 26. So it's very important of the washing of the water of the Word so that filter stays unclogged, free flowing from our heart to the outward man. What? It has to go through the soul. Yeah, because it takes two to be in agreement. When your heart and your mind are in agreement together, then that's two against one. That means your body has to line up. It has to get in line with what you're believing, thinking, saying with your heart. Has to. That's why we cannot allow time to play a factor in our faith walk. We serve a God of timelessness. Remember that. We cannot, because that's what? That's getting us back in the natural realm when we start looking at time. Well, it's been this long, Well, you know, Pastor Deb, it's been. It does not matter when it comes to your faith. What does matter is what you're choosing to believe and think on and stay believing. Keeping that switch of faith turned on. Yep. Hallelujah. So we're learning to practice and develop the fruits of the Spirit to build a strong character. And what did we say these were? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Woo! If we can build these and develop these and exercise these fruits of the born-again spirit, like I said, they've already been deposited in there, but fruit has to grow on a tree, just like it does in the natural. It grows on a tree. It's growing as you begin to exercise it and utilize it and develop that fruit, because it'll never grow until you begin to do something with it. You have to do something with it. So we see here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we looked at love. One of the first fruits, love, and we know that what? Galatians 5, 6, faith, our faith works by love. We have to know and understand God's love for us, our love for Him, how to love ourselves, how to love others. By this shall all men know that we're His disciples, by our what? Love for one another. We know God's love for us is it's unconditional. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. It's not based on your works and how much you can do for Him to get Him to love you. No, He loves you already no matter what. Okay, so we looked at that love and how important that love is and understanding it. Then we looked at joy. And we found out that joy is a conductor of God's strength. That what it tells us in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Then it tells us in what? It tells us in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Yeah. Merry heart, a joyful heart, it does good like medicine. How vitally important it is to be joyful, full of joy. John 15, verse 11. Jesus said He wants us to have our joy full. Full. Well, that means if it tries to get on E, runs on E, and gets empty a little bit, what? Nope, we got to tap back down into that joy. You see, joy is eternal. Happiness is temporary. Happiness is based on circumstances. If everything is going good and going right, oh, I'm happy. That's the world standard. No, no, no. We got joy. Joy is eternal. Yeah. It's choosing to be joyful when you can be sorrowful. And that, it is a choice. It has everything to do with the way we think. So then, here's a new one today. We're going to go on peace. We're going to hit on peace. Glory to God. So peace. We looked at love, joy, peace. We talked about the fruits of the born-again spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being spiritually fit and a strong spirit, building a strong spirit, because that's what's going to sustain us in bodily pain or trouble. When trouble tries to come our way, or pain tries to come our way, we want to have a strong spirit. So, in peace, the Bible tells us, let's go to John chapter 14. That's St. John chapter 14. I'm reading out of the Amplified. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 27 first. It says, peace. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, peace I leave with you, John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. What did He say? Don't allow your heart to be troubled. Why? Because out of the heart flow the springs of life. Divine health is one of the springs of life that flow out of our hearts, flows out of the life of God that's in us. Come on now. So it says, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Who's to do that? We are. It didn't say God. No, it says we're not to let our hearts be troubled. Will they be tempted to be troubled? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The things that can be thrown at us from every angle, yes, it can bring frustration, anxiety, stress. That's just what the enemy wants. But when we recognize our enemy, come on now, and we begin to stand up and praise or be joyful and release our faith, deciding to laugh, ha, 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 that's a lie, ha, 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 this is the truth, this is what I believe, this is what's true about me, this is what I have received. Come on now, it makes a difference. So he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Well, he wouldn't say that if we didn't know, if God didn't know that we wouldn't be tempted with that. But don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's taking fear and that trouble part right there together. Don't let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. How many times have you ever said, that just agitates me? Stop it. Refuse to be agitated. Get your mind thinking back on the right thing. Remember Proverbs 23:7. So as a man or woman thinketh in their heart, so is he. The you that you see is the you that you'll be. You know, I remember this woman's testimony one time. It's so powerful. And she was paralyzed and could not walk. And so she was bedridden for a amount of time. And so she got her husband to get in their picture album and pull out every healthy picture of her running or doing her horseback riding and just up and being healthy and strong. She said, blow those pictures up and put them all around my room while I'm sitting here in my bed. I want to focus on me being healthy and strong again. She says, I am not going to succumb to this paralysis. And so she began to take a hold of the Word of God. He put those pictures up all around her room, her horseback riding, her doing stuff with her grandkids, running, playing kickball. I mean, all this stuff, you know. And she said, after a amount of time, she said that Word got in her. She began to see herself, so as a man thinketh in their heart, so are they. She says, this is going to help me. She says, it's going to help me. She began to see herself the way the Word said. She came off of that bed in 6 months' time. I said, she came off of that bed in 6 months' time. That it took 6 months, Pastor Deb. 6 months? And it could have been for life? Come on now. 6 months ain't nothing compared to a life sentence of being that way. She stayed at it. She stayed at it. She had those pictures all around her wall. She said, if I got to sit in this bed and look at four walls, I'm going to see myself healthy and strong and doing stuff with my grandkids, with my family. She didn't lose hope. She didn't give up. It does make a difference what we think on. So right here, Jesus said, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Oh boy, he even added disturbed. That just disturbs me. Stop it. Don't be looking at something that disturbs you. If the news stops disturbing you on the TV, turn it off. Don't listen to that negative news. It says, do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. No, because if you continue to think on those things where you're being agitated, disturbed, fearful, then you become unsettled. Because according to Colossians chapter 2, we're to become settled on his truth in chapter 2. Settled, rooted, and grounded on his truth. The word will stabilize you. The word will settle you and hold you steady. The Holy Ghost will sensitize you, but the Word of God will stabilize you and hold you stable and steady when things around you are unsteady. Come on now. Let's look at another scripture here. We talked about peace, the third, one of the fruits of the born-again spirit. The third one, we're looking at peace. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, we just turned over a couple of pages, and now we're on verse 33. John 16, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, distress, frustration. Woo! He starts listing them, don't he? Yeah. He said, in the world, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer. Yes. In other words, cheer up. Woo, that just reminds me of a scripture that Paul said when they were on the ship being tossed to and fro by the storm. He said, what, men, be of good cheer, for I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. It shall be even as it was told me. Then he said in another place, he said, none of these things move me. None of these things, all the circumstances that was happening in the natural, Paul said, none of these things move me. But what did move him was what he heard the angel say when God came and said, you're going to make it. Every 276 people on that ship with you are going to make it. All of you, not one of you, not one hair on your head is going to be lost. Well, that's pretty good, I'd say. Woo! After being in a bad storm, hallelujah. Glory to God. So here we go, John chapter 16, verse 33. So it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, distress, frustration. In the world, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here on a journey for a certain amount of time, and we're to make a difference while we're here for the what? Kingdom of God. Make it count for the kingdom of God while we're here. So he says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Glory to God. What did Jesus say? He said, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's what Jesus said. I have conquered the world for you. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. Praise the Lord. So we're in this world. The things of this world do not have to harm us at all. Why? Because Jesus said he deprived it of its power to harm you. Why? Because he called you, made you a more than a conqueror and overcomer in this life. No, you didn't. And praise the Lord. So here we go. Let's look at another scripture. So we're talking about the peace. The peace. The peace of God. Peace is an emotion based on how we think. Isaiah 26. Let's go to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, we're in the Old Testament, thou wilt guard him and keep him in perfect peace. Woo, glory, that sounds good to me right there. Thou wilt guard him and keep him in perfect peace. Keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, what? Their mind, both, whose mind, its inclination, and its character is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you. Ooh, that's powerful right there. Yeah. We're talking about peace is an emotion based on how you think, because if you're thinking wrong, it can steal your peace. But it says, if thou will keep him in perfect peace, if your mind is stayed on him. He's the answer. That's the word. Jesus is the living word. Keep your mind stayed on the word, on him. If you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you because he commits himself to you. I'm telling you. The Message translation of that, Isaiah 26:3, the Message translation, it says, people with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. Woo! Glory to God. That's the Message translation of Isaiah 26:3. Let me read that one more time. People with their minds set on you. We've talked about peace and his emotion based on how we think and continue to think. Not just for one given moment. We're content. You know, you have to reel your mind in all the time. There are so many things that are grabbing for the attention of your mind, trying to pull it on this thing, trying to get you distracted here, looking over here. You have to reel it back in. You have to reel your mind back in. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, on the word. You mean it's nothing wrong with you because you have to keep reeling your thoughts back in. Just keep doing it. Okay? Eventually your mind will become lined up with the word of God. It'll think the way God thinks about you, to you, for you, and through you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So our mind stayed on him. We talked about peace. Let's look at another scripture. Psalms 119. Let's go to Psalms 119 together. Psalms 119, verse 165. We don't want to lose our peace. We don't want to allow the devil to steal your peace because he's trying to what? Get your mind thinking on something else other than what you need to and should be thinking on. The Word, the living Word. Jesus is the Word of God. Think on him. So Psalms 119 verse 165, great peace have they who love your law. Woo, glory. Great peace have those who love his word, you could say. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Great peace. Great peace have those who love his word. Nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. We talked about the peace of God. Having that peace. Mm-hmm. Keeping our mind stayed on him. How vitally important, vitally important. Look at Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 30. Peace is an emotion based on how we think and continue to think. You are in control of your thinking. You are the one that takes control of your thought life. Remember, you cannot outthink the devil, but you can outtalk the devil. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words. Spoken words. The spoken word of God is his power. That's why the devil tries to shut you down and get you to get quiet and lose by default. No! Bless God, we boldly open our mouth and declare. That's why it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He said it because he said it. Now we boldly say it. God said it first. Why did he tell us in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12 about it being a two-edged sword? He said, God's word. He said, my word is what? All powerful. It's life. It's powerful. It's quickening. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrows, the discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart, of your heart. That two-edged sword, what does that mean, Pastor Debbie? Well, first, a two-edged sword first is in God's mouth to you. Then you get God's word in your mouth back to him and remind him of his promise. And his word, it becomes a sharp two-edged sword. First, God's mouth to you. And then your mouth, you get it in your mouth and speak it back to him. Two-edged sword, boy. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So here we are, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. And it says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart. Here we go. A calm and undisturbed. What did he just tell us? Jesus just tell us back in John 14 and chapter 16 and chapter 14. Don't be agitated. Don't be disturbed. I've overcome the world for you. It says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Think about how powerful that is. Let me say that again. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart. Notice it puts them together. Mind and heart. Mind and heart. We are the ones in control of our minds. What we choose to think on continually. A thought unspoken, unacted upon, dies unborn. Can't stop thoughts from coming. Just like they... Brother Hagin says they could try to build a nest in your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your head. Can't stop them from flying over, but you can stop them from building a nest in your head. Praise God. So a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life. Are the life. We talked about what we want, that life. We want a pure flow from our heart, our spirit, up through the filter out on this outward man.
Right.
We don't want the filter, the mind, the soul to get clogged up with wrong thinking. Peace is an emotion based on what we choose to think. Harness those emotions. Bring them under control of your heart. Say, no, that's not the real me. I'm speaking out of my heart. This is the real me. This is what I choose to think right here, right now. You have to say it. Because I can tell you, when the enemy gets into your mind and he begins to build strongholds and you're fighting against that, you better put your mouth into action.
Yes.
To break down those strongholds, like it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds of the mind. You casting down every thought, reasoning, hot. Come on now. Anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, against God's word, you and I are to take control of that. So, praise the Lord. A calm, undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body, but envy, jealousy, wrath are like rottenness of the bones. You think about, I'm telling you. Envy, jealousy, anger, wrath, all that's works of the flesh. And we're learning to live out of our heart. We're learning to take what's on the inside and release it on the outside. We're not looking for something out here and trying to grab it out here and bring it in. No, it's already deposited in our hearts. We're learning to release it by choosing to exercise it and develop it. And at that very moment, exercise it when the opportunity presents itself. I choose to be at peace at this moment. I refuse to be disturbed. You see how you use your mouth? You say, nope, God's given me peace. He said so in his word. I have peace at this moment. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I choose to believe. I believe God. You see how you're redirecting with your mouth, your tongue. It's so powerful. If we can get a hold of this and realize the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. God designed us like that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when he breathed the breath of life into man and he became a living soul. The Hebrew scholar said that can be translated as the same as saying man became a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. Why? So we can operate and function in the same kind of faith that God the Father himself operated in when he created the worlds, the universe into existence. He spoke it. The spoken word of God is his power. That's what he even told Charles Capps. He said, I've given man creative power. My creative power was given to man in word form. Believe in those words. God spoke the worlds into existence because he believed in what he said. And he released his faith in what he said, and he spoke it, and it was. The same thing with you and I. Why does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13? We having the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore we speak. We also believe and therefore speak. We having. I'm not looking for the God kind of faith. I have it. I have it. It's just what? Exercising it. Using it. We having. And it's taken from a quote out of the Psalms where David, when he was facing the giant, come on now, David, when he was facing the giant, he won the war with words before he ever defeated that giant. Come on now, when David went after that giant, he spoke some words. Of course, the enemy, the giant, spoke some words to David. But David said, this day I will cut your head off. This day. I mean, he was just speaking exactly what he got. But he won the war of words first. Then it took place. Words. So powerful, so powerful, so powerful. So, verse 30, let's see, do we want any? So peace, good. Peace is an emotion based on how we think. So we learned today the importance of our thinking. To stay in peace, what we choose to keep our mind stayed on. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. And then we saw in Psalms 119:165, great peace have those who love his word, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. Nothing. Don't allow the enemy to steal your peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. He sure did. Deposit it right in here. I choose to be at peace in this matter. Yep. I'm using my mouth. I choose to be at peace concerning this situation. You see, it's powerful. When you do that, your body responds to those words. Praise God. So we've been looking at building a strong character and how vitally important it is to have a strong spirit, because that's what sustains us in bodily pain or trouble. We want to be spiritually fit, exercising ourselves unto godliness, and this is just the beginning of looking at the fruits of the Spirit. We'll continue and pick this up the next time. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We got to be just as patient with the Word of God as people are when they go to the doctor and he gives them a prescription and says, take this for so many hours and this will so many days. And what? You have to allow it to what? Get into your system, right? Yeah, well, this is medicine, so we have to take this medicine and allow it to get in there. And let it do its work. Hallelujah. Praise God. So a strong spirit has everything to do with your health, your healing, wholeness. Because out of the heart flow the forces of life, the springs of life. divine health is one of them. That's been promised you. It's been given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. It belongs to you. We choose. We choose. Father, we thank you. I thank you today. I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take this word today and bring it back to their remembrance in every situation, in every circumstance, so they can apply that truth. Make it their own. As you continue to grow, each one, develop each one in their spiritual walk with you. We thank you today. If there's anybody in here this morning, even if you're online watching this morning, and there's any situation, physical situation in your body, and that's all I have to do. You just put your hand where the problem is or the situation. Lay your hand over your heart, whatever it might be, your leg, your knee, your elbow, your arm, your shoulder, your back, your foot, your hand. Father, we thank you today. There's no distance in the spirit realm. We send your word to heal and deliver them from all their destruction. I speak to every pain. I speak to every disease, sickness. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over it. We rebuke it, curse it, command it to leave, die, come out in the name of Jesus. I call each one of them healed and whole, healthy and strong. This very day in the name of Jesus, I bind every demon that's behind any sickness, disease, pain, infirmity. I bind it and break the power of it off of them. Command it to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your healing power, your healing anointing that destroys and breaks every yoke. I speak peace to their minds. We bind any confusion in Jesus' name. Command confusion to go in the name of Jesus. A disturbed mind, an unsettled mind, I bind it in Jesus' name. I speak peace to that mind. In Jesus' name, you have a sound mind, a sharp mind. The mind of Christ you have. Father, we give you all the praise. Now just lift your hand.